Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season with their limited edition chocolate mint. There are endless ways to personalize your Kachava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS for 15% off. That's Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code FITNESS.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
Netflix is about to swallow up one of Hollywood's biggest studios. This is part of a reported $72 billion deal, or rather bid, for Warner Brothers. With us is critic Darren Mooney. A, Darren, why do they want him? B, why do they want to spend $70 billion on him?
Well, I mean, obviously, the big thing for Netflix has won the streaming wars. We've been on, we've talked about this before. They're the survivor of the streaming wars. Every other studio, including Netflix, by the way, including Warner Brothers, waded into those waters, found them choppy, and immediately retreated from them. What did Alexander do when he looked upon the breadth of his domain? He wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer. And Netflix are looking to expand. They're looking to conquer. The big thing that Netflix don't have, and as anybody who uses Netflix will know, is they don't have franchises, they don't have IP, and they don't have history. Netflix began producing their own content around about 2013 with the arrival of House of Cards. That means they don't really have a history or a legacy. They have a lot of library, they have a lot of content, but not a lot of like sticky stuff in there. When you think of your big franchise, you think of Marvel, you think of Star Wars, you think of DC, you think of Looney Tunes, you think of Harry Potter. How many Netflix franchises do you think of? You think of maybe a show like House of Cards or like Stranger Things, but you don't think of a universe. Don't think of a property. Don't think of something that they can build out.
Why do you need a universe? What's the advantage of a universe?
Well, the advantage of a universe is just that you can produce anything and the brand will sell itself. You don't have to sell your new show as the most important thing in the world. If you just stick a Star Wars label on it, people will watch it.
So is the nearest equivalent from a Netflix perspective the Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul overlap, that they managed to spin one into the other?
But that came from AMC. That's not a Netflix original. That's exactly it. So if you own Warner Brothers, you don't have to pay to import that stuff, basically. You have that stuff on tap. Also, like, there are possibly other conspiratorial reasons why they might want to do it. They are a tech company. We're getting into an AI boom. If you want AI, what do you need? You need a library of resources and content that you can mine for that. Hypothetically speaking, that is one source of concern there as well.
So what? So you feed your your model the Warner Brothers back catalog and then it can make you new movies?
Not necessarily new movies, but new scripts, new ideas, new content. Yeah. Well, the idea is that you have all these likenesses, you have all these rights. That's the thing with large language models at the moment. You have this whole issue with copyright. What are we feeding into them? Do you own that? Where do you come from? If you own all the stuff that you're feeding into it, it's a much more lucrative model. You don't have to worry about any of that copyright stuff.
So what's all the good stuff that Warner Brothers has?
Obviously, DC's the big one, Looney Tunes. They own everything in Lord of the Rings except for the appendices, which are currently owned by Amazon, and they make Rings of Power. They also own the Harry Potter. They've got an upcoming Harry Potter show. They've got the Batman spin-offs. They've got everything in the HBO library as well, which is quite prestigious for Netflix's point of view, because Netflix are very good at making popcorn television. You think of things like Stranger Things. You think of things like The Diplomat. You think of things like The Night Agent. But you throw in something like The Sopranos in there, like Deadwood, like The Wire. That's a different category of television in terms of prestige.
From the counterparty perspective, then, why would Warner Brothers be willing to give up all of this?
Because the industry is in the state that it is. Warner Brothers have obviously had a very long and complicated history when it comes to mergers and acquisitions, beginning with the purchase by AOL back in 2000. We all remember the dot-com bubble. Warner Brothers have been passed from hand to hand. They went from AOL to AT&T. AT&T were they really pushed the idea of streaming. Because obviously they're a telecommunication company. They want to own the internet, the one of the studio that made the internet, the streaming service in which you watch the films that are on the internet. And the idea was that you could like just pump all that content through. They had a big project under Jason Kilar called Project Popcorn, if you remember during the pandemic, where every Warner Brothers movie went simultaneously to cinemas and to HBO Max. And the idea that it would bump up membership and viewership on HBO Max, it did not. What it did do is it did drive down viewership in cinemas, which drove down the prices and led to AT&T withdrawing from Hollywood in a mild panic, getting the last helicopter out of Saigon, the last ornithopter off of Dune, if you will, and basically ending up selling to Discovery, which is where David Zaslav comes in. And Zaslav, who's the current head of Warner Brothers, you ask why they're selling. They're selling because that's what Zaslav does. He's a guy who began in Discovery, leapfrogged from Discovery into Warner Brothers, and immediately started fattening up Warner Brothers for a sale. He's already begun shaving off the cost, like the cost waste elements of the studio. So, for example, Linear Networks, Discovery, basically the boat that he rode into Netflix, he's already set fire to and cast it off as what we call a crap co. So the idea is that he can take the lucrative parts of the studio, which are the stuff we mentioned, the IP, HBO, the films, and sell them to another buyer.
So what does this mean for us punters? Because on the one side, you could say, well, it means Netflix will have an increased library and more stuff to watch and The Sopranos if you want them. On the other side, does it cause concerns about the possibility of investment in innovation, creativity and art?
So many things that it's impossible to predict. Anton, at the moment, Netflix have been very, very careful to state that nothing will change. They will keep Warner Brothers working exactly as it is.
That's what everybody says before things change.
Yes. Within 3 hours of the deal, they'd also said that they want to narrow the release window in theaters and get those movies on streaming as quick as possible because everybody loves watching them on streaming. The worst case scenario of this is that you end up with a rise price on Netflix, a rise subscription price because it costs so much to buy this stuff. You end up with the content being basically made exclusive on Netflix. If you think about Netflix, right? If you look at, say, Disney, or you look at, like, Warner Brothers, they license their content over to other providers like Sky over here, but even Netflix, hypothetically, Amazon. Netflix doesn't do that. You're never going to watch Stranger Things on Amazon Prime Video. So what happens when you take all of the Warner Brothers content and just put it on Netflix? That's the only place it's going to be.
So the ultimate aim, I mean, this is where you talk about winning the streaming wars. The ultimate aim, I assume, from Netflix's perspective is they want to be the streaming version of Google. They are ubiquitous. They are it. They are the only game in town.
They are inescapable, basically. And if you want to watch any of this stuff, and again, the franchise stuff is very useful for this, because you have an entire audience of young people who love their Superman, who love their Batman, who love their Lord of the Rings. If the only place you can get those is Netflix, that's good for Netflix. Not so great for you, but good for Netflix.
And also interesting to see what they do with their subscription fees once they have that position established.
That's it. That's the problem with Monopoly. And in terms of like buyership as well, which you mentioned, that's a big concern. One of the issues, again, with these monopolies is obviously it's bad for consumers because once you have control of the market, the prices go up. It's also bad for the people who make art because if you restrict the number of buyers within the market for art, it makes it hard to sell art and it leads to like... It leads to a homogenization of the culture where, like, if you look at Warner Brothers this year, right, for all we complain about Zaslav, and we absolutely should complain about Zaslav to be clear, Warner Brothers released a total of 11 movies this year in theaters, which is not a high number. But if you look at the top 16 movies at the American box office, seven of those came from Warner Brothers. And those seven, like, they include, like, pretty good movies, like Sinners, for example, Weapons, One Battle After Another, movies that would not get... I suggest would certainly not get a theatrical release under Netflix. I would also suggest would be highly unlikely to be made under Netflix. And that's a big issue.
When will we know if the deal goes through?
Who are very close in him have flagged their concerns about the deal. They feel like it was made unfairly. They've announced that they're planning to launch a hostile takeover. There are reports within the states, understandably, that both Republicans, because of Trump, and Democrats, because monopoly bad, are encouraging state attorney generals to try and block the deal going through. In practice, this will probably be settled sometime between 12 and 18 months. But you'll see the long tail of it for years.
Darren, thank you very much. Thank you also for the sentence, the last ornithopter out of Dune. It was a high point for the show. Darren Mooney, author, critic and all-round expert on film and TV.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.